This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I found my ex on OnlyFans. It's not good. She's wearing my grandma's bracelet while guys touch their wood. She said she lost it. I don't know what to do. I need you to say, what should I say? Hey!
I get drunk, wake up, I want to kill myself inside of a Starbucks still. I feel like you can feel the way I feel.
I'd be fucked up if I were you. It's 2022. This is If I Were You. The only podcast show.
I'd be fucked up if I were you.
Wow. Oh, I wanted that song to go on forever.
There's still three more minutes.
Really?
Yeah,
Crank it. move the table.
Fucking dance.
I want to break dance.
I want to take Molly.
It's been a minute.
That was a Bieber parody, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
There's a Bieber song called Stay.
Yeah, I think I know that one. I like Bieber now.
He really had a great transformation.
Yeah,
he totally was sort of a twerpy kid, and then he got turned into this like very thoughtful, talented adult.
Well, I like One Less Lonely Girl.
That interesting. So that's when he was six.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, he's great.
Actually, he's always been really talented. I watched the documentary on him. Even like as a 5-year-old, he's like drumming pretty well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And now I'm worried that he's like either more jacked than me, or hotter than me, or like.
Why are you
happier.
Worried about that now? He was always all three of those things.
Not when he
jacked,
was
jacked, hotter, and happier.
And I was, yeah. He was,
yeah, because when he was 13, you were like 23 or something.
Yeah.
And you were very, very slender.
Scroundy.
As a 23-year-old. No. Yeah. Your shoulders were the same size as your waist.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You were
a
pencil man.
Exactly.
A
stick figure. Yes, exactly.
That's right.
But then when he got jacked, it was already too late for me to catch up.
Right. There was a time where you were like beefed up a little bit, but Bieber was light years ahead of you in terms of weight, hotness.
What if you had it all with nobody to call? Then you're feeling lonely.
Ew. Is that a song that you're making up, or is it a Bieber song?
It's a Bieber song.
Okay.
It's called Lonely.
Yeah.
And I was just saying that he has a great voice, but it's nothing that I can't do.
You proved immediately when you started singing that it was something you couldn't do. You shouldn't have sung one of his songs that he's better at singing than you are.
Okay.
I don't compare yourself to him. It's night and day. There's no comparison.
It's still different hours of the fucking clock. It's not like night and day are more similar than like night and pickle.
You're unattractive.
Okay.
You're underweight. Yeah. You're not hot. You can't sing. And you're actually pretty unhappy because of all of those things. So I feel like trying to play catch up with Justin Bieber is, you're destined to fail there. Look at your face right now. Does this look like a guy who's happy? No. Why don't we make a change? Let's not Chase Bieber. Let's be your own guy.
Actually, Chase Bieber would be a pretty cool name for me to have to be happier. Hey, Chase Bieber.
Yeah.
People would have to think I'm related.
Related, yeah. And maybe that is better, because then you'll stop comparing yourself to him and you'll just be your own Chase Bieber, who does his own thing.
My name's Chase Bieber because I chase Bieber. Actually, we're recording this again in studio live.
That's right.
Not really That's live, right. But you guys can watch it. So you can also see my face when Jake says, look at your face.
That's right.
If you guys can if you guys want, you can watch this on YouTube.
What is the YouTube for this thing?
I think it's our show's YouTube channel.
If I Were You?
Yeah.
Show YouTube?
If you search like If I Were You, mm-hmm. we'll call this episode Chase Bieber.
Nice.
And then so people will be able to search If I Were You, Chase Bieber. Then you can find the channel, mm-hmm. other videos we've done. Sometimes we're over Zoom. Other times we're in a freaking room together.
Yeah. This is better. Would you say this is better?
This is a lot better, yeah.
Yeah.
No delay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about Zoom lag.
Right.
Setting up your own microphone right. to just sit here and talk.
Yeah. Sad and lonely recording on Zoom in your house, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly.
For sure.
That was a theme song written by Pete Bradford, and he nice. Has a story about the three of us. Let's see if you remember this, because I don't.
Okay.
I have nothing to plug, but I do have a funny short story involving the three of us. In another lifetime, you guys were interviewing me over Zoom to be an audio engineer at HeadGum. At the end of the interview, you asked me how I thought the podcast compared to other podcasts that I listened to. I thought you were talking about audio quality instead of how much I liked the show. So I said, honestly, it's not as bad as the Joe Rogan podcast or anything, but it definitely has room to improve. I received very astonished and confused faces from the both of you. And then he has a laughing emoji because he's over it. Mm-hmm. This has been and will always be my favorite casted pod.
Interesting. I feel like that question was about our audio. Mm. And maybe the astonished look was because we didn't know Joe Rogan had a podcast back then.
No, this was like during, if we were interviewing him over Zoom, this would have been during the pandemic.
I guess Joe it Rogan. Was. But we also conducted audio engineer interviews like back when we started HeadGum, and they were like, I think we also did them virtually.
Oh, really?
We've done virtual interviews for a long time, maybe just is using the term Zoom loosely.
Right, and it was like a Google Hangout.
Yeah, because we haven't conducted a audio engineer interview, you and I, for a long
years.
Time.
Right.
Yeah.
Does this ring a bell at all?
No. Not at all. I mean, I remember if this is the search where we ended up hiring either Chris or Carly, then yes, I remember a bunch of people I remember interviewing them.
Like literally from like 2016.
Yeah, but I don't remember. There was definitely not anybody that like lost the job with a single answer like this guy remembers.
Right. This is this guy's dead eyes moment. Mm-hmm. He remembers it very vividly and we're just sort of, I can't quite remember. But I guess this did happen. I mean, he has quotes. He quoted himself and us.
Right. Well, but those are quotes from memory, so it's not necessarily like...
That's right. Inherently biased. Yeah.
Astonished look. I don't recall.
Well, Pete, we did like the Stay parody, the Justin Bieber parody.
Yeah.
So in a way, we're working together after all.
Right. Send us your resume, man.
And I can't believe Joe Rogan, the guy from fucking Suddenly Susan, has a podcast.
Joe Rogan was on Suddenly Susan?
News Radio.
Huh.
Maybe Suddenly Susan, too. Do you guys know? News Radio.
We've got producers live now. Now we don't Google shit. We just ask other people to do it.
It was a workplace situation comedy, to be sure. And I think it was News Radio.
Interesting.
It had more to do with what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We should get him on. What's he up to?
He's one of the most influential podcasters in the world.
How do you like to be on Chase Bieber's show?
How'd you like to talk to Chase Bieber about how you went from sitcoms?
I bet
sitcoms?
We would be able to get a lot more guests if we said, hey, will you be a guest on Chase Bieber's podcast?
My new name. All right. This is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web.
I'll be Justin Hurwitz. Okay.
Isn't that the guy who wrote La La Land?
Yeah, maybe. But it doesn't
Not
matter.
Maybe.
Okay, but you. But I'll
That's why you chose
I'll be
it.
Justin Rice. It doesn't matter because the email says, will you be on Chase Bieber's podcast along with his buddy, Justin? And then you'll kind of assume, and actually me and you, we're kind of like brothers at this point, his brother, Justin, Chase Bieber's podcast with his brother, Justin. And they don't know that my name is Justin Rice. But,
so what's the goal? To get a guest in here and they'll be sorely disappointed?
I hadn't thought of it like that far ahead, but...
Yeah, if Rogan shows up here, we're suddenly talking to him. He's like, who are you guys? And I'm like, I'm Chase Bieber.
I'm Justin Rice.
Okay. Now I'm sort of in a sour mood and we're talking
Why is he in
about,
a sour mood?
Because he thought he was talking to Bieber.
Yeah, well, that's on him, not us.
Yeah.
We still conduct the interview. We'll still have a nice time. And then the downloads go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now you can introduce the show.
If I were you, Only Advice Podcast on the web, hosted by us. I'm Chase.
I'm Justin.
We are reading real emails from real folks. If you got your own questions, send them on down to. It's the same email as always, ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Got some fucking crazy ones, actually.
Let's go.
One lady in Canada.
Nice.
Is wondering what the statute of limitations is on rejection. You get rejected earlier on in your life. Can you go for it again?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that rejection a lifetime sentence?
I'm going to say it depends on the rejection, just off the cuff without hearing any of the context.
Okay, so here's the context.
Let's hear it.
We'll call this lady Lindsay Vaughn, who I think is like a skier. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping from Canada.
Totally.
The winter before the pandemic, I was into a friend of mine. We were flirting a bit. Then I kissed him at a party. However, after a few weeks, he soundly rejected me, saying he's not looking to date anyone and he doesn't want to go forward with the flirtation. That's fine. No problem. I moved on.
I don't want to go forward with the flirtation.
Enough is enough.
I don't even want to have a clever conversation with you right
now. That's right. Don't even touch my shoulder while you laugh at a joke of mine. Mm-hmm. Then the pandemic starts. He goes back to his hometown for months. We don't talk. I finish school. He comes back, becomes an integral part of my friend group. And now, wouldn't you know, we're flirting again. I've gotten much closer, basically cuddling while watching movies, spending a lot of time together, etc. So here's the question. He hasn't made a move. And I feel like when I do it again, it will be rejected, just like last time. What's the statute of limitations on rejected? Should I go for it again, even though it feels like a similar setup to our last situation? Or am I off the hook and I should just wait for him to quit being a goddamned coward? Any thoughts would be greatly appreciated.
Well, okay. So this, I don't think this was like as soundly, or this is like the most normal type of rejection you can come back from. That this person's not ready for a relationship, not ready, and then they've taken. I mean, if it was pre-pandemic, it's like 2 years.
Yep.
A lot has possibly changed. The only issue I see is that I'm not ready for a relationship is a great sounding rejection for somebody that just doesn't want to hook up with you.
Yeah, but then why would he cuddle again 2 years later?
Guys do dumb shit like that all the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Even 22-year-olds.
Yeah, especially. So I'm not saying the door is closed, but I wouldn't have necessarily trusted his initial reason for not wanting to pursue the flirtation. Does that make sense?
Right. But don't you feel like a little bit pre-pandemic is a reset? Like,
yeah,
the world is different now. Everybody's different now. A lot of more people are sick or dead. And so maybe his thoughts
about the population of the world has gone, it's down. Lower.
So it's not like quite I'm the last man on earth, but it's definitely closer than it was.
For sure. Yeah. Wow.
That's a good question. Is population growing so fast and rapidly that it's outweighed the amount of people who have died from the pandemic, or are there less people on Earth now than there were 2 years ago?
I'm going to go ahead and say that the population is growing faster
than the pandemic is killing.
Just because, I'm going to guess randomly, but I also did study anthropology at Yale, so I feel like I kind of have a good sense of humanity, culture.
So how fast is population growing?
One every freaking millisecond. How about that? Bing, 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 bing. 1,000 babies just born just now. But then someone dies every other second. So, or no, 1,000 people die every other second. So then you have to.
Oh, wait, no.
I'm trying to remember I defended my thesis and I'm trying to remember.
Your thesis was about basic algebra. How many people are born and die every second? Every millisecond.
Mm-hmm,
1,000 milliseconds every second. You don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything.
All I'm saying is the population's definitely more now than pre-pandemic.
Yeah, I would guess so too. Which means I think we're due for another a big boy, like all this shit. Like I want that Station 11.
I feel
shit.
Like I hear Casey typing to see if we're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to check in and find out.
Mm.
Would you?
Yeah, I guess you can search how many people are
born
every year.
Casey, did you?
Tanya's checking.
She's checking.
You're just erasing a woman's
word. I'm sorry. I didn't know where the fucking sound was coming from.
140
million babies born every year. Oh, yeah. That's way more than how many have died.
How many does that break out to every second?
140.
I'm sorry, Anya, but I respect your work.
So you have to do 140 million divided by 365, divided by 24. Divided by 60. Oh, yeah. That's how many. What? What is that number?
I don't know what the actual number is. It's 525,600 minutes.
That's how many in a year, right?
In a year, yeah.
That's, oh, that's minutes in a
but
year.
But I don't actually know if that's 100% the lyrics to that song.
Right.
525,600 minutes. Actually, this is more important. Can we look up the lyrics?
Actually, who wrote Rent? Actually,
Jonathan Larson. I actually watched Tick, Tick, Boom recently, and I know this now.
So that movie is about the guy who wrote Rent?
Yes. It's like his one-man show, or his show that he wrote about himself before Rent, called Tick, Tick, Boom.
Why is that a film to be made? Like,
it was just another show of his.
And so they wanted to make a movie about the guy who made Rent and the show that he made.
Well, he made that play about his own life.
I see.
And that was like, it was a show. So they turned that show into
a movie.
A movie.
Got
it. So it's relevant because he eventually wrote Rent. And yeah.
So the movie's not about him like writing Tick, Tick, Boom. The movie is the movie adaptation of the play Tick, Tick, Boom.
Right. The movie is the movie adaptation of the play Tick, Tick, Boom. But Tick, Tick, Boom is kind of a self-biography, an autobiography about him writing Tick, Tick, Boom.
I see.
So he's writing songs that he's singing, but they're happening on a stage. But like the play is about him writing the songs.
And how is Garfield in it?
Great.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
His voice is amazing. That's kind of like cool. In Rent, how there's that song, One Song Glory, where he's like writing the song about writing a song.
I see. It's like a kind of meta that way.
Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to write the best song ever. Glory. What? How many babies are born every second?
4.5 babies born every second.
Not bad. I wasn't that far off. What did I say? 1,000?
You said 1,000. You're off by several orders of magnitude.
It's been a minute since I studied anthropology. Yeah,
it's written 525,000. Yeah, 600 minutes.
I don't know if I mentioned that I didn't actually graduate from there, and I defended my thesis, much to my dishonor and discredit on the day.
Much to your chagrin, right?
Yeah.
Moving all the way back to Lindsey Vonn.
Right.
Go for it again. What if you do like the half go for it? So you guys are cuddling on the couch and you just lean in to talk to his like mouth even closer. Then it's like, you can't reject me. I didn't even try to kiss you. I'm just an inch away from your nose.
Yeah. I mean, I think the door is obviously open because a lot has changed. Definitely, it wasn't a rejection based on you or your character. It's what he was going through. So it can happen. I wonder though, like she has to decide if she wants to put herself out there or not. And I feel like it's trending towards he's going to make a move if you just keep on the steady course. And then you could theoretically, you know, not have to put yourself out there.
Meet him halfway.
Yeah.
Both literally and metaphorically.
That said, like all the signals are there. And if you lean in to kiss him and he rejects you, I don't think that's like a bad reflection of her. That's just...
He's sort of being a bad person because he's cuddling.
Yeah, but you know, some people like to cuddle. I don't know. I just think this is all fine.
Yeah.
And you might hook up and you might get another polite rejection. Because I think even he would know that if you tried to kiss him, he was flirting and cuddling with you. Yeah. So it's not like
that's on him.
Order.
I think we've said this before, that cuddling is almost more like intimate than kissing.
Yeah.
Because with cuddling, the surface area that you're touching is almost your entire body.
For sure.
Kissing is just lips.
Yeah. Lip, well, and tongue.
Yeah, if necessary.
And a little teeth if you do it right.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chase Bieber style kissing involves...
That's all teeth and tongue. No lips.
Could you possibly do an all teeth kiss without any lip or tongue?
Yeah.
Like tooth on tooth? Because you can't really get an angle. I guess I can... If I put the top of my top teeth against your bottom teeth...
Right.
We can like clink almost.
It wouldn't
like
be
glasses.
Intimate because it'd have to be pretty precise. But yeah, I think we could probably do something in a way that was just a tooth to tooth
without anything else
without
touching.
Nothing, yeah, with nothing else touching.
I feel like your teeth would have to come out of your mouth, like, because it's like It's located within the garage of my head.
We did it Spider-Man style, speaking of Andrew Garfield, where your head is back.
Upside down.
And your top teeth are kind of bared, and I just go down and I bite them.
Yeah.
I think I could do that. And this is a video podcast now, so we could
almost like maybe figure in the second out a way. Act. Yeah. Okay, let's take a break. Think some sponsors come back and sort of figure out the physics of how we could Spider-Man tooth kiss within the confines of this studio. Because I'd have to almost dangle.
Are these lights are bolted up.
Yeah, so I could do like almost like a swing set style. I was going to say,
yeah, if we get like enough of these XLR cables.
I can be fully upside down.
Yeah.
I fall and hang myself. You guys don't do anything. Stand back. Stand back. Shh, shh, shh.
I close your eyes and say goodnight, sweet prince, and then bite your top teeth.
As I finally pass out, you slap me Will Smith style. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon enough. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson in the fight.
Gross. Actually, yes. Mom, I'm coming. Mom, I'm humming.
Interesting.
My advice is to hum, folks.
Hum.
Hum. That's right.
For example,
hum. Whatever. You know,
okay.
It doesn't have to be anything.
And why is that good to do?
Well, I'll tell you. I was learning about the vagus nerve. You know that it's like a big nerve that runs from like your skull to your spine, basically.
Yours is exposed. Yeah,
It's got like a stegosaurus.
Yeah, I think that's not the nerve though. You have some sort of goiter.
I think I might have even talked about this on the show before, but like. A friend of mine had like a video where she kind of like showed all these different ways to like stimulate the vagus nerve because it like touches all your internal organs, and having it stimulated like increases your heart rate, increases like your, makes you feel better, makes your mood better.
Okay.
And humming is one of the things that activates it.
It's almost like a natural high that you're trying to create. Right. So instead of like taking a drug that makes you like dump serotonin, you can hum, and that tricks your body into making endorphins that make you feel better.
Right. You know, like you pretend to laugh or you smile and you kind of think you're happy.
Yeah.
Just humming, I think it's like a little, it's soothing. It's nice. So I've been humming as I walk.
And are you humming to the tune of a song, or are you just vibrating your skull and that's good enough?
I'm humming to like random tune. I don't think I am humming anything in particular. No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then have you found it to be helpful?
Yeah. It's definitely not hurt. It's not harmful.
No.
It's nice.
Not harmful.
It's fine. It's all good. Right.
I think
it's decent.
Let me try it, because I find myself in kind of a sour mood whenever I have to talk to you a little bit. So here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm. I might just hum
fun.
A little bit too, because now I'm in sort of a bad headspace because of what you just said to me.
Okay.
So I'll probably, doesn't have to be even a song. What you said was kind of hurtful.
But, ready?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. I can't wait to be king.
That's good.
It is helpful because I'm also singing a happy song, so it's fun to hear that.
Right.
All right, let me try to sing. I'll hum a bad song and see if it makes me sad.
Right. This is putting everyone else in a bad mood.
Oh, yeah, that's still helpful because it sort of vibrates and it's like it's sort of like shaking up any like loose cobwebs.
That's your vagus nerve, buddy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like pronounced like Las Vegas?
Pronounced like Las Vegas, but it's V-A-G-A-S.
Vegas, I see. V-A-G-U-S.
I thought it was V-A-G-A. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, V-A-G-U-S. It's a modular of the brain-gut axis.
Yes.
Wow.
So actually, it's kind of interesting. There's a nerve that runs from your brain to your ass.
Really?
So if you make your ass vibrate, that'll increase your mood.
Actually, can I... permission to fart Hello by Adele to see, just to compare it to when I was humming it. Can you tell that that's what I was humming?
No, I didn't,
song?
But I'm glad that.
Hello from the other fart. Yeah.
It's good.
And it works because it feels good to fart.
Yeah.
Sweet. That's actually, it's a venous, it's like anus, but vagus combined. That's cool. The nerve that sort of gets stimulated when you fart to a specific.
This is why people
song.
Will never actually take our advice.
And probably shouldn't. Wait, right. Who taught you about the vagus nerve? Who's the one who gave you that
my friend Kat.
Interesting. She sort of gave you that little tidbit of advice.
That's right.
So you're just regurgitating what she said, or are you bringing anything new to the table?
I'm spreading the gospel. I'm bringing something new to the table. Not everybody that listens to the show would know her. So
right. No, I get that. It's just that, like, when I bring in unsolicited advice, it's shit that no one's ever even thought of before.
Water picks?
I think I really came up with that. Those were meant to water really thin plants before I was like, oh, this is a good idea.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you get the brushes?
The what?
The brushes. Are they giving you the wires?
What do you mean the wires?
The really thin little wire brushes that go between the teeth?
You mean floss?
No. No, I do not. Like I would know. Yeah, no. It's like it looks like a little fucking mesh brush. It's like a little pipe cleaner attached to a really thin little plastic.
In addition to the water pick, or as an extension?
I went to a periodontist recently,
And a gum surgeon.
Yeah. And she was like, floss twice a day.
Twice a day.
And then she was like, and you know, it wouldn't hurt to like floss during, like after lunch. So basically floss all the time.
Yeah. Right after you
and
eat.
Then water pick. Yes. Okay. Also water pick. And then of course brush. And then she gave me these little fucking pipe cleaners.
Now there's a fourth thing.
And she's like, yeah, and just, you know, put these in between your teeth and your gum and scrub. It's like, this is, it's too much.
It's a full-time job.
We shouldn't
Sally.
Have teeth. We shouldn't have them. They should. There's nothing else on our body that requires this level of maintenance, right?
It used to be just floss, and now it's like, do you floss? Yes, I floss. All right, well, do you water pick? It's like, yes, I also do that.
Yeah.
But then did you add the fucking pipe cleaner?
Yeah, did you pipe cleaner? And did you floss three times today?
Yeah.
My God.
Like, sorry, I have to do other shit.
Take
I also
my
have
teeth
taxes.
Out.
And like,
I want, yeah.
My cholesterol's high. Like, you don't give a shit about anything but gums. So you can say for me to do all this shit.
Yeah.
But I'm like a
I have
fully
a job.
Like, yes, I have a job. In addition job. To, I can't floss every fucking meal. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works.
Right.
Because I also have to take care of my house plants.
Yes.
That's how to keep a fucking dog alive. So right. I can't floss and
imagine if we have
neglect
a kid.
That. Forget about it. Yeah,
forget
that's never going
to
happen.
Then you have, then you have to remember that they have to floss.
Yeah, I don't get, like, I have a friend with, like, four kids, right? So what, every meal you then have to feed four other people?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll
and
have,
every
a,
time
I'll
you
have
floss,
a banana
because
like, I'm running
hey,
out.
Did all four, you guys
yes,
floss?
Exactly.
No way.
I have a bowl of cereal. Oh, shit, I forgot I have to fucking make eggs for nine people right now.
Right.
Then and then 3 hours later, did you give them lunch? Lunch? It took me fucking
they
two
want
and a half
too?
I have to make sandwiches for all of you guys? And then it's what, dinner time again?
Yeah, forget it.
So then, no, I didn't fucking use a pipe cleaner because I've been in the kitchen literally nonstop every day for the last 5 years, keeping these four things alive.
Yeah.
As I talk, my teeth are falling out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should say this is not me. Yeah. I don't have any
you don't,
children.
You have a dog.
Yes,
you
exactly.
just have a dog.
I just have a dog.
But and you do have gingivitis.
So what I'm doing is sort of neglecting everything. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing the bare minimum.
Your dog has gingivitis as well.
Yes. He has plaque. He has cirrhosis of the gum. Okay, but since we have all of our shit together, why don't we try to dispense more wisdom and
Let's
answer people's questions? This one is a self-considered tough one, says James Jones. James
JJ.
Jones, right?
Stuff, yeah.
I'm a 23-year-old and fresh out of college. While in college, I never had a problem taking the dimes to the pound town. I think I'm a good-looking guy, but now I really struggle to get past the first date. For instance, this one time I met with a bombshell at a bar and everything went great and we made out while I picked her up. We went back to her place and I eventually left because I wanted to take things a little slow. But then the next day, she doesn't want to hang out with me. This isn't even the first time either. Please help. I want to dive in the poon, but with a good girl. That's really interesting. That's fascinating, actually.
Oh.
Dive in the poon, but with a good girl.
That's
tough.
I think that's
that's
a world-class predicament,
for sure.
I mean,
that's probably the hardest issue anyone's faced this year, because he's used to
and
taking dimes
as we read that question, 100 babies were born into this beautiful world.
That's amazing. And this guy is also in this world.
Okay.
Dude, is this maybe it's easier to meet people and ladies in
Do
college.
Do you dive into Poontown?
It's helpful to take dimes to Poundtown in college. Maybe it's a little bit easier. Did you ever find that in college it's easier than in the real world?
I actually had a much harder time in college than I did out of college. But I think I did the reverse. I don't know. Whatever happened to me happened in reverse.
Right.
Nobody liked me in college and people liked me after I left.
Why did nobody like you in college?
I was a nasty little shithead.
yeah. Jesus.
That's right.
I'm sorry to hear
that. I had
that.
A negative attitude. I was mean. I was rude. I was a social dissident. And I was dissonant. And I was distanced.
So overall, you just weren't a nice guy to be around.
Mm-hmm. Bad hygiene, bad health, bad attitude.
And you didn't find yourself leaving colleges because you weren't necessarily
I never stuck around very long.
Academically either.
I was not welcome back at one college. Then the other two, I dropped out just because I didn't feel like it. And then the fourth one, that was a mutual decision. I didn't want to go back.
I wasn't allowed to go back.
It seems like those are all four the same thing.
Well, the other two I left on my own volition. They would have had me.
So you're saying your grades were good enough in the middle two?
In the middle two, the grades were...
The grades were not.
They were, those schools were cheap enough that I could have just kept on going.
Yeah.
The first one, I lost the scholarship, and I wasn't allowed. Like,
you had a scholarship?
Yeah, to the first college.
Oh, I didn't know that. Was it full ride, or how did that work?
I think it was... Not a, I think maybe a half ride.
Wow.
It was a tennis ride. Scholarship, by the way.
So you should be a lot better at tennis.
Yeah, no, I was not good even when I got the scholarship.
But you, how did they know that you were good enough to give you a scholarship? Did you have to like submit your results or something?
I believe I played when I, on a visit. Met the tennis coach.
And you were, so you were pretty good.
I was not good at tennis. I had a
How could you be bad and convince a tennis coach to be like, let's give this guy a half ride?
Even I was a very good tennis player when I was 12. I like won the club tournaments at my like pool club or whatever. And then I slowly deteriorated. So I'm as good as a good 12-year-old now, but I can serve harder. But like when I was 18, I had lost a little bit of
your speed.
No, it was really accuracy. Just it was about stroke confidence. Like I moved to like a chip shot, like a slicing forehand instead of a topspin forehand.
Because you were afraid that your control was too errant.
Yeah, I wanted to improve my consistency.
Mm.
But what ended up happening is that I like slowly got worse and just became a little poker. I would just poke the ball over. So if I didn't win the point on my serve or if I couldn't win it at the net, yeah. I would basically lose it in the backcourt trying to slice the ball back to somebody who could just kind of put it away.
And did you see King Richard?
I did, yes.
And did any of that sort of remind you of your upbringing? Did anybody push you and drive you and force you to play?
No, I think see that's the problem. I don't have that winner mentality. I have like the choke mentality.
Oh, I see. You if were I'm the people up, that
I'm like, oh wow, that's someone's going to come back. And if I, and even when I can come back, I'm like, I'm going to come back and make it close, but ultimately lose.
And who was your, if not your father, did your parents play tennis? Who was the one who drove you to these?
My mom and dad both played tennis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, my dad plays squash sometimes. I don't think he plays tennis anymore. My mom plays tennis.
Did you ever beat them or play them heads up?
Yeah, I played my parents in tennis as recently as like maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
And how were they?
I beat them then. So they went, you know, they're fine. They're good.
And when you were 12?
No, this was, when I was like 20.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. Did you play them at age 12?
When I was 12. No, I never played. My dad could always beat me when we were younger, when we were 12. That's cool. Had a forehand slice.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
You play tennis, right? You play.
I've been playing tennis. I feel like we should play tennis because I now is the time where I've been playing for like a year every week now. And yeah. I wonder if I've caught up to you, a 12-year-old who stopped.
How consistent improving. Are you? You're hitting it over with topspin.
Yeah, I mean, not all the time. I'm like you, try to just be a wall because I'm not playing very good competition. I'm playing my other buddy, Amir, who's not very good at tennis either. So we're sort of roughly comparable.
What's your service like?
Not great. If I'm really going for that first serve, 10% of the time is it going in.
Yeah.
So then sometimes I take it off my first serves because I don't even want a double fault.
Right.
But if it's like just playing around, then I can be a little more loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to play.
We should try to like set something up where we can video that as well.
Yeah, I think I need one. I need to play no video to make sure that I'm at least comparable to you. And
decent.
Then, yeah, then we can play.
And then we could, yeah, so one offline, one online.
Yeah.
And this person who's taking times to pound down anymore.
I think, you know, there's probably like an element of an attitude change that like it almost feels like you're in between them right now. You were like party guy in college and now you're trying to like have a more consistent, meaningful thing where, you know, you're saying that you took someone home but left because you wanted to take it slow, which is good. But I think even if as long as you're framing it in this email like this to us, that's okay. But like, project onto the world that you're that you care less about going to Poontown.
Yeah, especially because he says he wants to dive in the poon with a good girl. I don't know if good girls necessarily want to be with somebody that say stuff like dive in the poon. So it's sort of like a self-fulfilling bad prophecy.
Yeah.
So change yourself, be better, and then you can find yourself a better person once you actually aren't the person that you currently are.
Right. And you could also stop looking – like maybe it's like in college you met people at parties and people were drunk and they hooked up and whatever. And that was good for that time. But now you're looking for something that's different, but you're still kind of going to the same places, like going to dive bars, going staying out late, making out with people. And it's like that's not necessary – like you're – meeting people there that probably don't have that same, like, you know, I'm looking for a good guy mentality.
That's right.
So maybe hit the dating apps or try to meet somebody in a different context.
Yeah. And, you know, taking it slow isn't necessarily the worst thing. I mean, this person, he's the one who said he wanted to take it a little slow. So maybe that's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take another break. Thank some more sponsors. Come back and answer more questions, maybe about tennis, maybe about other stuff.
Let's go.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one that's a little different.
Okay.
But still from a 22-year-old in Canada.
Good. Yeah.
That's the thing with our audience is that we get older and they stay the same age and are from Canada.
Right. Always from Canada.
So this 22-year-old, who we'll call Wayne Gretzky, or perhaps his brother Brent Gretzky, writes, Brent. I'm from Calgary, Alberta. We went to Calgary, right?
That's right. Yeah. Made a show there.
We did Edmonton, Calgary.
Vancouver. And wasn't there another one?
Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah. So maybe we just did Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg.
I think we did Vancouver after.
Really? We did four?
Four, yeah.
So maybe we did Winnipeg, not Edmonton. I think we did Winnipeg, Calgary, Vancouver.
That's possible.
And I'm seeking your advice in regards to dealing with some tumbleweeds. That's right.
Cool.
We're off dating. We've moved on to Canadian agriculture problems.
Cool.
For some reason, my house lines up with a wind tunnel that causes these giant tumbleweeds to accumulate in the front gate that leads into my backyard. It also accumulates in front of my neighbor's backyard gate, but he never deals with it. I've taken a look at other houses on the block, and I'm the only one dealing with this issue. One day, I eventually got rid of about a dozen of them by crushing them and shoving them into my compost bin. Unfortunately, the tumbleweeds are stuck in the container and won't come out when it's empty by the city. So now I need to come up with a different method of disposal, and I'm not sure what to do. I've thought about throwing them over my fence, making my other neighbors deal with it, but I really don't want to be that guy. Mm. I've also considered just moving all of them to the front of my neighbor's gate. That would be too obvious, and he would know what I'm doing. They accumulate so fast. It's been about a month since I disposed, and there's 15 more of them now. They're all about 2 to 3 feet in diameter.
God.
It's literally too much plant matter to even throw in a trash can. Let me know if you have any ideas. Maybe I should just burn them. Thank you.
There's got to be a better person to contact about this.
I think I know what to do with these Canadian tumbleweeds.
Okay, go for it.
There's this liquid formula that will soften the weed and almost turn it into this wood paste.
A sludge.
Yeah. It's this proprietary blend that I'm sort of working on.
You're working on it?
It's a tree melting formula between acid and oil that's located not really on the periodic table of elements because it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And it, what
You're
it does,
working on it?
I'll rub it on a tree
and it'll soften.
Do you
like
know
a...
about it, or did you make it?
It's an idea I have. It'll soften a tree.
So it's not
tree.
Even a prototype.
No.
There's nothing in beta. No. You just have an idea about a paste that will melt a tree.
Not melt. Soften it. That's the difference. You ever touch a tree and it's got a spongy bark? This will do that.
To the tumbleweeds?
To what? Also, please shout out my podcast, Savory Avery, on Spotify.
Good name.
Yeah. So I thought this was like just a cartoon thing, tumbleweed, like when something is boring, a tumbleweed flies by.
I mean, I've seen them before. It's interesting that they're accumulating. I wonder if that's like a winter thing because there's like dry twigs everywhere. It feels like when there's more leaves on the trees and stuff, you might see them less. So maybe it'll hopefully be a seasonal thing.
Yeah. Imagine this 15 of these spherical thicket balls just sort of 2 to 3 feet in diameter bunching up by your gate because you're in fucking Calgary, Alberta.
It sounds like you have to put them all into a tarp, put them in a truck, and then bring them to like an agricultural center.
Yeah.
But I feel like you could talk to your city's waste management.
I don't mind the burning them thing, especially if it's winter.
Yeah, burning like, seems fine.
In the snow, right?
Yeah.
And when you burn them, it's like nature's way of saying, go away.
Yeah, there are places that I don't know what the deal is with like burning your like lawn waste, but like sometimes it's fine and sometimes it's bad. Like it's bad here because everything could catch on fire, but maybe in Canada it's different.
Did you ever go through a fucking pyro phase?
Yeah,
like burning shit
for sure.
And you like to
lighting
see,
a
like,
fireworks. Yeah, lighting an M80 running away.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
what's the biggest thing you ever burned?
Nothing.
Your mom once told me that you tried to burn the school.
This is insane. No, I did not. My mom did not say that. We can call her right now.
She said you put gasoline on
this is some kind of fake gotcha journalism.
Yeah. She said you had a very big pyro.
My God.
She said you had a fucking Zippo for your bar mitzvah. You wanted a Zippo lighter and to learn tricks. And then you got one of those knives that you could flip open like that.
A knife?
Yeah, like a fucking Bowie knife or what are they called?
I don't know. A butterfly knife?
Yeah, you wanted a fucking butterfly knife, a nunchuck, and a Zippo lighter.
So what phase is this?
You just wanted to open shit in a
cool
way.
I was a Ninja Turtle.
I was a teenage, not really mutant, but still Ninja Turtle. There was nothing mutant about me.
Right. Just a teenage turtle. Not ninja either, but I was a tween and I was a turtle.
I ate newts for a year as a 13-year-old turtle. And I didn't know how to use the fucking knife and I didn't know how to use the Zippo lighter.
Yeah.
Have you ever dealt with an issue like this? Like you got a backyard in New York.
Yeah.
Autumn means a lot of leaves back east. What are you doing with all your leaves?
There's 2 weekends in October and November where they do a leaf pickup.
And then they just, you put them in a bag and then they pick up all the leaves?
So I blow them, rake them, put them all into bags, bring them out to the front yard on the weekend and they come and collect them. So I don't know what your collection, I mean, there must be some kind of leaf collection there, but you know, then that's only dealing with the problem in the autumn and if it continues through the winter.
What if he does like a cowboy situation where he gets a horse and a lasso?
Right. If you get saloon doors on your house, then all the tumbleweeds start to make sense.
Hiya! So you lasso and then you...
They say yeehaw, not hiya. You're thinking of the turtle still.
Yee! And it's like almost like a rodeo, but instead of... I used to do like steer catching. When I
you
grew
did?
Up with my old man, yeah, we used to go from like Wyoming all the way down to Texas over the summer and we used to just fucking
catch
rope steer. Yeah.
Rope steer, really?
We were used to like, we did like.
Describe how you tie a knot in the lasso.
Well, you'd like go like.
No, that's how you throw it. How you tie the knot.
Well, it depends on if you're using a slip knot or if your dad is just fucking going like ham, beating the shit out of you in your backyard, pretending that it's like a cowboy fantasy camp. And then you sort
of so your
hog
tied. Hog tied you like a steer. Your dad hunted you like a steer from Wyoming to Colorado.
Yeah, to Texas. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay,
right.
Cool.
Yeah, we spent a pretty harrowing winter in Oklahoma once.
With your dad hunting you.
I don't quite remember what happened because I repressed the memory.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, because it was
fucked up what he did to me.
Certainly.
But I imagine that there was some lessons, valuable lessons that this guy can do. And if not using the lasso, the steering, the
And if not yeehaw. That, then you have the tree paste.
Yes, the tree paste. The Blumenfeld, which is a proprietary paste. Which my dad and I actually went door to door in the South.
You and your dad went into business together after he hunted you.
Yeah, because I proved my worth. And then we ended up hawking snake oil for an entire summer in the course of between that and the knives that we used to sell door to
door. This was 1948, right?
Yep. This was 1812, actually.
All right, cool.
So yeah, my suggestion, burn them. If it's winter,
burn
the entire fucking town. And would it kill you to move from Calgary to a less woodsy place?
When I first moved into my house and I wanted to understand how trash pickup and disposal and all that stuff worked, I just went to, like, you know, New York City had a website where it told you literally everything that you needed to do. So I bet Calgary has one of those too.
Yeah. And
you're not the only person dealing with tumbleweeds. There's a solution.
I'm not good at knowing stuff like this before it affects me. So, like, this has never affected me. I don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
Recently, I had a broken dishwasher, so now I know how to work with the dishwasher.
Right. And you know how to fix your dryer, right? You just had a coin in it?
Yeah, I had a coin in the garbage disposal. My dryer was broken because there was lint that hardened on the escape valve on my roof.
Right.
So all these things that I know now that I didn't know 5 years ago, maybe this will turn you into a
tumbleweed. How long do you think before you forget everything you learned about your dishwasher?
Every, like, 5 years, it kind of resets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, cool.
Like, did you know that dishwashers have filters? Yeah, I replaced my filter.
Yeah.
And then when I replaced my filter, I accidentally put the wrong filter in and it flooded the whole thing. Now I know what kind of filter my dishwasher needs. Mm-hmm. Did you know that when a dishwasher floods, it no longer allows any water to enter the dishwasher? So when I took the filter out and drained the flood by hand, it still wouldn't turn on until I, drum roll please, reset it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to reset your dishwasher? No, you don't. You actually have to download the manual.
Did you not know that the filter needed to be the right size for your dishwasher? Did you just get, like, a random filter?
I got two filters, one, like, this inner one, one this outer one. And I
did
guess
you search, like, when you were buying those filters, did you search by your dishwasher model?
I searched by my dishwasher type, Bosch, but I didn't search the specific model.
There you go. There you go. Okay, so I don't know everything you do about resetting the dishwasher, but I would know if I needed to replace something.
Womp,
womp. To go by my model number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the model number is actually not too easy to find. It's on a sticker in the dishwasher.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you purchase it, you'll have the model number in your receipt.
I didn't purchase the dishwasher.
I see.
It came with the place.
Cool. There you go.
Actually, this is a funny story for when we have Ben on the podcast, but his dad is a sort of a handyman and has been coaching me out of certain sticky situations. So we should have Ben Schwartz and his
dad?
Father, yeah. Because I guess he's seen it all. So he's helping me get in there.
That's good.
Someone who's
That's
seen
Jill's
it all
dad
before.
For me.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you've had a place for 40 years, you've dealt with all these issues before. My old man, he would just give me a fucking 1-900 number and a slap on the back.
And a lasso around the legs.
You'd say you could figure it out. Squeal for me. Okay. Thanks for writing these emails in. Thanks for submitting your theme songs. The email address for all of it is ifireyoushow@gmail.com. We're shooting this episode, the next episode, live in our studio. So you can watch. I don't know why I keep saying live. It's not live. But we are shooting it as a video. You can watch
it's
it on
YouTube.
Live
for us.
Yeah. So you can listen to it, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, as usual. But if you want to watch us, see us as a television program, you can watch it on YouTube as well.
Yeah. And click around all those other HeadGum shows. Subscribe to them.
Yeah. We're starting to make more and more podcasts in this here studio.
That's right.
Soon we'll have one in New York. We can do even more.
Oh, yeah.
And you can watch us make more videos on our Patreon. Patreon.com/JA.
Ja.
Hundreds of videos on there right now.
My God.
Thousands of patrons. Join the party. Check us out.
That's right.
And we'll be back next week. As always, let's hear that Justin Bieber parody one more time as we head out of here. See y'all soon.
Bye.
I found my ex on OnlyFans. It's not good. She's wearing my grandma's bracelet while guys touch their wood. She said she lost it. I don't know what to do.
That was a HeadGum Original. Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hmm? Okay, I will. It's
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.